All right. It's Prada Gino, and you're tuned in tonight to Prada's List. Let go. Hey, it's Prada's List. Let go. Hey, that's me in the background, y'all. And if you're an artist and you're listening to this podcast, I can feature your music in the background of this audio as well. This podcast does support unsigned artists, indie artists, and people trying to break in the industry. And starting next year, if you were listening earlier, Sound Exchange is giving you the opportunity to make revenue off of that. So now's the time to get involved. If you want to add that kind of music to, you know, your music to my podcast, go ahead and hit me up in the message board. Message me on Instagram at Prada_Gino or on Twitter at Prada Gino. And yeah, let's make moves. Let's make money. Let's network. This is an opportunity for everyone to win, thanks to Sound Exchange. I was scrolling through online, and I decided to check on the Associated Press news. And they posted about an hour ago that 60% of Americans disapprove of how Trump's handling his job, according to the polls. So that's about 6 in 10 Americans disapproving of the president's overall job performance. Just 36% of Americans approve of the way Trump is handling his job as president. 62% disapprove. Those numbers are ugly for a first-term president facing re-election in 14 months, but they are remarkably consistent. Trump's approval rating has never dipped below 32% or risen above 42% in any Associated Press poll since he took office. No other president has stayed within so narrow a band. Since Gallup began measuring presidential approval, Trump is the only president whose rating has never been above 50%. But there are still presidents who have logged lower ratings than his lowest rating. And those include Harry Truman, Richard Nixon, Jimmy Carter, George H.W. Bush, and George W. Bush. Trump's poor grades in the Associated Press polls extend to his handling of several key issues. And they've been debating about this on the Democratic side for the last like 4 months. It's immigration, healthcare, his foreign policy handlings, and guns. Views of the Republican president handling of the economy remains a relevant bright spot, despite fears of this potential recession that we might have. But at least 60% of Americans disapprove of his performance on other issues. The new survey was conducted shortly after back-to-back mass shootings in Texas and Ohio left dozens dead, and renewed calls from Americans for answers from their elected officials. Trump pledged immediate action in the immediate aftermath of the attacks, but has since shifted back and forth on whether to push for stronger background checks on people seeking to buy guns. He does whatever's politically expedient. He's awful, says 60-year-old Robert Saunders, a retired police officer from New Jersey who's not registered with either major political party and vowed not to vote for Trump in 2020. According to the poll, 36% approve of Trump on gun policy, while 61% disapprove, numbers that mirror his border approval ratings as well. In response to the shootings, Trump said that he would pursue policy options with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and that he would like to see very meaningful background checks. Great. But then earlier this week, Trump said the U.S. already has significantly strict background checks in place and that many of his supporters are gun owners. So now we're back to the same old song and dance. 7 in 10 Republicans expressed approval of Trump's handling of gun policy in the new poll, among his lowest rating from the GOP. Beyond guns, Trump remains overwhelmingly popular with his own party. Nearly 8 in 10 Republicans approve of Trump's overall job performance, while 20% disapprove. This has been the case for his whole presidency. Democrats overwhelmingly oppose his leadership. 94% of Democrats disapprove in this new survey. And independents remain decidedly low on Trump as well, with about two-thirds disapproving of Trump's performance. Significantly more Americans approve of Trump's handling of the economy, although even on those issues, he remains slightly underwater. Trump's current economy rating represents a 5% point drop from the same time last year. But for a president who was struggling to win over a majority of American voters on an issue, the economy represents a relative strength. Even some Democrats approve. Just 5% of Democrats approve of his job performance overall, but 16% approve of his handling of the economy. Independents are closely divided. 44% approve and 47% disapprove, while 86% of Republicans approve of his economic leadership. Let's hear from a few people who took the poll. Mandy Mitchell says, he's kind of a bully, but I've seen some improvements. She's a 38-year-old registered Democrat from North Carolina. Our unemployment rate has definitely dropped, she says. She is studying for her doctorate degree. Said she didn't vote for Trump in 2016, but she might in 2020. I'm not going to be too hard on him, she said. I just think he doesn't address America properly. Greg Traylor, a 53-year-old small businessman from North Canton, Ohio, acknowledged that Trump is rough around the edges, but he praised his work on immigration and his support for Israel. On the economy, Traylor cheered Trump's hardline stance with China while acknowledging it may cause some short-term pain. He's got balls of steel, Traylor said. Greg Traylor is a registered Republican who does plan on voting for Trump in 2020. John Sullenberger of Philadelphia says the economy is doing okay, but he's doing a horrible job for the country. He said he left the Republican Party after Trump's rise and is now a registered independent. Sullenberger also said he's obviously a racist, he's anti-immigrant, he foments discontent with so many people, it doesn't matter what the economy's doing really. This AP NORC poll was conducted August 15th through 19th, and it consisted of 1,058 adults. Respondents were first selected randomly using address-based sampling methods and later were interviewed online or by phone. If you would like to hear more about this survey, visit AP NORC Center at www.apnorc.org. I think one of our biggest news stories around the world that hasn't been getting much coverage is the Amazon rainforest. The new Brazilian president is pro-business. And the biggest business that they have is cattle cropping. Environmental organizations and researchers say these wildfires that are blazing in the Brazilian rainforest were set by cattle ranchers and loggers who want to clear and utilize the land, emboldened by the country's pro-business president. The mass majority of these fires are human-lit. And that's a huge problem. As people demand more meat, businesses demand more agriculture. And because of this, we're stuck in this area where we're getting rid of vital land that animals thrive in. Farmers and ranchers have long used fires to clear land and are also likely behind the unusually large number of fires burning in the Amazon today. I mean, we're talking about weeks of burning. You can look at satellite images and you can see how impactful these fires are and how quickly the Amazon is dissipating. The Amazon forest produces about 20% of the world's oxygen, and it's often called the planet's lungs. According to the World Wildlife Fund, it is irrevocably damaged. It could start emitting carbon dioxide immediately. Now, this isn't something new. This year's fires fit into the established seasonal agricultural pattern. It's the best time to burn because the vegetation is dry. Farmers say, wait for the dry season and they start burning and clearing the area so that their cattle can graze. And that's what we're suspecting is going on down here. The peak of dry season is in September. so we can expect for the burning to continue for at least another month. But as we continue to burn and create more carbon dioxide in the ozone layer, we bring in these greenhouse gases that cause global warming. I know the American presidential administration doesn't believe in climate change, but we're seeing it and we're living it. And as each year goes by, it gets worse and worse and worse, and we set new temperature records. We see more ice melting in the Arctic. Animals are starving in these areas. But the human race is what's most important, right? We have to save the humans. So we ignore the signs of the world and the earth telling us that it's hurting just so we can keep one species on top. I mean, I blame the president. I blame Bolsonaro. And a lot of environmentalists are also blaming the president. Organizations, activists, and social media users worldwide have reacted to the news with alarm. Hashtags pray for the Amazon and other variations of the hashtag are trending globally on Twitter with hundreds of thousands of tweets. As images and news of the fire spread, many are demanding accountability from Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro. When Bolsonaro was running for president, he made campaign promises to restore the economy by exploring the Amazon's economic potential. Now, environmental organizations say he has encouraged ranchers, farmers, and loggers to exploit and burn the rainforest like never before with a sense of impunity. Local media reports are having farmers organize together for what they call Fire Day so that they can burn lands together at the same time under Bolsonaro's rhetoric. To bring more business revenue to Brazil, we see a similar pattern from Bolsonaro that we did with President Trump. Brazil's Environmental Enforcement Agency suffered budget cuts amounting to $23 million, which stops them from really stepping in and stopping the burning of these lands. And just a week ago, the director of INPE was fired after a spat with the president. The director had defended the satellite data that showed deforestation was 88% higher in June than it was last year, which Bolsonaro characterized as a lie. Bolsonaro, who has previously said he is not Captain Chainsaw, is reference to Amazon deforestation, has dismissed accusations of responsibility for the fires. On Wednesday, he speculated that the Amazon fires could have been caused by nonprofit organizations who are suffering from the lack of funding to generate negative attention against me and against the Brazilian government. Sounds just like someone that we have running our country right now. Cast blame on everyone else when you know you are the one who's responsible for making these actions happen. The warning signs are there. Let's say we just decide to shrug off the fires, right? Farmers will burn more and land grabbers will try to illegally occupy, parcel out, and resell plots of lands to ranchers. There has to be a crackdown. This is why we have environmental enforcement agencies, so that we can meet these kind of illegal activities with public opposition. The Amazon is incredibly important for our future, for our ability to stave off the worst of climate change. This isn't hyperbole. We're looking at an untold destruction, not just of the Amazon, but the entire planet. We have to step in and do something. The worst part about this situation is, if you look back at the fires that were happening in the Notre Dame Cathedral, billions of dollars were poured into restoration of that cathedral. And yet, here we are with the Amazon rainforest, which makes up 20% of the oxygen on Earth, and we don't see any billionaire stepping forward. We don't see anybody coming in to buy land to try to force farmers to not be able to burn those lands down and giving the animals and the, you know, trees and life there the possibility to thrive and continue to help the whole world. Our priorities around the world have to change. If you guys want to discuss more about this topic, make sure to hit me up in the message board and we can discuss further about ways we can change the deforestation of the Amazon. Make sure if you're on Twitter or on Instagram that you hashtag pray for the Amazon. It is trending right now at the top of Twitter. Most sought after, most talked about. The main cause of the deforestation of the rainforest is for cattle ranchers. It's for the meat and dairy industry. So let's take a look at what would happen if everyone went vegan. The idea of everyone adopting a vegan diet might sound extreme, but in the last decade, the number of people in the UK following a plant-based diet has risen over 340%. There are now over 0.5 million British vegans, with around 20% of 16 to 24-year-olds in the UK following a vegetarian or vegan diet. You can see the growing interest in veganism all around the world. From the explosion of dairy-free milk alternatives on supermarket shelves and the growing number of celebrity advocates like Liam Hemsworth and Natalie Portman, to movies like Cowspiracy and Simon Amstel's futuristic vegan comedy, Carnage. What was recently a radical lifestyle choice is slowly moving into the mainstream. For scientists, policymakers, and economists, the idea of a vegan future is especially interesting. And one of the biggest reasons is the environment. Your fridge might seem like an unlikely settling for the fight against global warming, but did you know that food is responsible for over 1/4 of all greenhouse gas emissions? What's more, meat and dairy make up the vast majority of that carbon footprint. The UN says that farmed livestock accounts for 14.5% of all man-made greenhouse gas emissions. To put that into perspective, the BBC reported that this is roughly equivalent to the exhaust emissions of every car, train, ship, and aircraft on the planet. If we all went vegan, the world's food-related emissions would drop by 70% by 2050, according to the recent report on food and climate in the journal Proceedings of National Academy of Science. Being vegan doesn't necessarily mean you're eating healthier. You can chow down on junk food and miss out on vital nutrients, whether you eat meat or not. For example, vegan diets are naturally low in calcium, vitamin D, iron, vitamin B12, zinc, and omega-3 fatty acids. If you are following a vegan diet, it is important to include proteins from foods such as nuts, seeds, beans, and pulses. A particular note are pistachios, flax seeds, chia, pumpkin seeds, buckwheat, and quinoa. At the same time, some vegan products contain a lot of coconut oil, for example, which is high in saturated fat. That said, it is easy to get the right food balance as a vegan, but you need to be aware of what you're eating. Good advice for omnivores and herbivores alike. We know that Western diets are linked to many health problems, including heart disease, diabetes, and obesity. In 2015, the World Health Organization went so far as to categorize processed meat as carcinogenic, along with asbestos, alcohol, and arsenic. With fewer cases of lower coronary heart disease, strokes, type 2 diabetes, and some cancers, its researchers report that a global vegan diet would also result in 8.1 million fewer deaths per year worldwide. This would project cost savings of $700 billion through $1 trillion per year in healthcare, unpaid care, and lost working days. We could also fight food poverty. A meat eater's diet requires 17 times more land, 14 times more water, and 10 times more energy than a vegetarian's, according to the research published by the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. This is principally because we use a large portion of the world's land for growing crops to feed livestock, rather than feeding humans. This squeeze of resources is only set to intensify. In 50 years' time, the UN predicts there will be 10.5 billion people on the planet. The current world population is around 7 billion. To feed us all, it says we will need to grow food more sustainably. Dr. Walt Willett, professor of medicine at Harvard University, says we could eliminate the worst case of world hunger today with about 40 million tons of food. Yet 760 million tons is fed to animals on farms every year. One of the counter-arguments against this vegan solution is that some grazing land simply isn't suitable for growing crops. That's true, but there's actually a bigger problem with eradicating world hunger. Right now, we already produce more than 1.5 times the amount of food needed to feed everyone on the planet. it just doesn't get to everyone in need. In other words, having enough to eat is as much about politics and big business as dietary choices. So there's nothing to say that hunger would be a thing of the past in a vegan world. It should also be remembered that we've been farming and eating livestock for around 10,000 years. Our diet isn't just food on our plate, it shapes everything from our jobs and trade to our religious and cultural identities. Today, the global meat and dairy industry provides work for millions of people in often very poor communities around the world. This type of event I would consider a culture shock. I have plant-based Kiki with me here to answer this next question. Where would all the animals go? A lot of meat eaters like to speculate on this type of lifestyle, and they ask the question, where would all the animals go?
Well, Prodigina, billions of farm animals would no longer be destined for our dinner plates. Without the demand for animal products as a food source, animal product producers would slow down their production and reproduction of animals. Farms and ranches, and especially mega farms and ranches, force animals to reproduce at much greater rates than would occur in nature. So without their influence, reproduction would slow. Animals that could be returned to the wild would be. Animals that can no longer survive in the wild could be adopted or taken into sanctuaries. For example, chickens can be used on individual properties as bug and pest management. They can roam free on property and munch on bugs.
So you would say chicken's a good example of an animal that they're so far removed from their ancestry that it would be hard for them to survive in the wild. So it's good for people to still have them as household pets, or, you know, in that instance.
Yes, boiler chickens may have difficulty surviving in the wild, but they can be used, you know, at your home and on, you know, your traditional farm to take care of worms and bugs and termites and other things that you might not want in your ground or your property.
So even if all the animals were turned back to the wild, humans would still be their biggest predator. We still would reduce them in numbers. With nature, it's always a question of balance.
Yeah, it is a question of balance. Humans would still, you know, have huge influence over animals, especially since as we grow and we develop properties, we're removing a lot of the natural animals, wildlife, as well as getting in the way of their natural migration patterns. But we do have to be careful when we re-assimilate animals into nature, in that you do it in a balanced way, a way that works with the ongoing environment. And you don't want to necessarily bring foreign species from the area into an area that they could then dominate or bring different diseases. But as long as we do it in a structured, well-thought-out plan, then you can bring them back into the wild. For example, they use it to repopulate the lion population in specifically South Africa. They take lions and they breed them and slowly reintegrate them back into the wild. That way you can grow that wild lion population. But it's not just, you're not just throwing lions that have never been in the wild out there. They do it over several generations of lions so that they can regain their wildness.
Interesting facts. If we all went plant-based, animals would roam free. Diseases like cardiovascular, memory loss, things like that would be combated with the plant-based diet. It's it's the future. It's what people are moving towards, and it seems like a lot of the world already kind of balances meals out with meat being more of a, you know, once in a week thing, or if you have more money, you can, you know, have meat with your meals. But a lot of places do decide that vegetarianism is the best way to go, and it's also, you know, the more affordable way to go as well. Well, thanks, Plant-Based Kiki, for some of that vital information here. You can follow her on Twitter and Instagram at Plant-Based Kiki, and Kiki is spelled K-I-K-I.
And YouTube. Thanks, Prodigina.
You're welcome. Just just want to thank everyone for tuning in to episode 5 of Prada's List. We got to touch base on Trump's disapproval rating, the deforestation of the Amazon, and if everyone went vegan. Seems like two of these topics could be solved by veganism. And Trump, we just need to vote him out in 2020. But thanks once again, guys, for joining me. This is Prada Gino, and you're tuned in to Prada's List. This broadcast was brought to you by Trump Tarts. The more you eat, the more you tweet. On the toilet. Special thanks to the Associated Press News, CNN Politics, BBC News, and all of the listeners around the world.